Half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Jeremy Frazier. It was presented in September of 2008. The title of the message, How to Change God's Way.
Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, says this. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How do you change? Well, in verse 24, it talks about it. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. It's talking about getting rid of things. Basically, you could put it this way, that when God speaks to you, you need to radically amputate the sin in your life. That means don't take sin lightly. Sometimes we like to treasure sin. We like to hold on to sin like it's some kind of a pet of ours, and yet it destroys us. But many times in our life, we don't see that. We're so blinded by our sin. That's why the Bible says, beware lest you're hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is amazing. It is so deceptive. You know, it's amazing that it's the devil uses this in our hearts and our lives. If we are not careful, what will happen is we are no match for the devil. We are no match for sin in and of ourselves. And it slowly takes us in this world that we don't want to go into. And our life begins to spiral down. And we begin to look back on our life and say, man, where have I come from? Where have I been? And I don't want to be here. And I think about it here, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation. This whole word conversation is speaking of your whole conduct and your whole way of life. It's maybe you've heard somebody say it this way, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Some of you are going, stop, you're confusing me. Here's the point. If your life doesn't back it up and you say things, it doesn't matter. It's like if I were up here preaching and instead of them giving me a glass of water to drink, you know, every so often, I get over here and I pull up a Bud Light and I'm drinking a Bud Light and I'm preaching to you guys and going, yeah, you need to let God change your life, you know, and I'm up here drunk. Man, you wouldn't listen to the message. If you would, it would only be to mock me, you know what I mean? Because the point would be that the life wouldn't back it up. And here's the Lord. He is telling us this through the Apostle Paul that we would get rid of these things in our old life. When this is a picture of when you get saved. You get rid of sin. But you know what? I'll tell you this. In our culture, in your culture, in all cultures, we like to make excuses for our sins. I mean, I think about this. I think about how we kind of go, it's not my fault, you know? It's like, I got like ADD, you know, I can't help it. And here's what happens is we start making excuses for why we really don't change and we don't really come to grips with our sin. And here's the point, that when God speaks to you, instead of making an excuse, come to grips with it. I say that because the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin, but I'll tell you this, it never once cleansed anybody from an excuse. And this week, what God wants to do in your life, He's going to use the Word of God to come deep and prick your heart and begin to speak to you, and you have a responsibility. What will you do? Many times what people do is they want to cover it over and say, well, you know, it's going to be over in just a couple minutes, and you know, and they don't think about it. But here's God wanting to speak to you, wanting to change you. What will you do? What will you do? There are some of you right now, when you think about your relationship with God, right away you realize there are things between you and God. Some of you think about your relationships with people, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, teachers, friends, enemies. What's in between you and them? See, here's the point, that you would get rid of it. This happens at salvation. This is repentance, and it's radical amputation. It's not taking it lightly. It's not saying, ah, yeah, I've sinned, but who hasn't? Or I've lied, but who hasn't? It's saying, not only, God, have I lied, but I am a liar. And God, if you don't change me, I will never change. And so you're running to God in repentance. That's turning from your sin and trusting in Him to do a work in you. This is a great picture in this passage about what salvation is, but it's also a great picture of sanctification, how God changes us on a daily basis. First thing God wants in your life is that you'd radically amputate sin, even the smallest of sins. You think that they're not big a deal, but they are big deals. I remember a number of years ago when God had gotten a hold of my life. Actually, God radically changed my life when I was 17. And I was going into my senior year of high school. And then later, God called me into the ministry that year. And I remember going off and studying off in Bible college and training for the ministry. You know what was unique about that was I remember one time I was sitting in a service at our church, and here's this preacher preaching, kind of like what's going on here. And he was talking about a clear conscience, and right away, I knew I was guilty. You say, what happened? Well, I was studying for the ministry. I wanted God to use me, and I remember being there, and all of a sudden, my conscience is going off. You need to get right with somebody. And I was saying to the Lord, God, it's not that big a deal. And I could do it some other time. But God's saying, no, do it now. I want you to get right now. I remember responding in the service. There's an invitation. I responded, and I really gave things to the Lord. And at that point, then said, God, help me as I get right with this person. See, what happened was over Christmas time, I'm from South Carolina. And in South Carolina, you know, we've got all these different seasons. I know Guam's got all these different seasons, don't they? Summer, you know? And I remember being in South Carolina, and what happens is, as you move into winter, you hit this fall, and all the leaves fall off the trees big time, and then it starts getting real cold, and sometimes you get the snow and stuff. And my brother and I said, let's go off, and we start cleaning and making money. We went to different houses. We'd knock on people's doors and say, hey, listen, we'd like to clean out the gutters in your house. And there would be these gutters that are off the roof where all the leaves sometimes get caught in there. And because the leaves get all caught in there, they kind of get all stuffed up. So we would go there, put a ladder up against the roof, go around, clean off this. We'd sometimes rake all the leaves throughout the yard. And I remember as we had done that, I remember that day, it was near the end of the day. I'd put the ladder up against the house. I'm climbing up this ladder. And I had this blower, kind of a vac kind of thing in my hand as I'm going up this towards the top. All of a sudden, the ladder slipped out from underneath me. And it fell. Now, when it fell, it slipped off this porch. It was a cement porch. It slipped off. It smashed against some bushes and hit against the house. And I fell. Right away, I dropped that blower back. It kind of landed. It went in kind of some pieces and stuff. It was my tool. And, you know, but I'm falling. And I didn't fall to the right or to the left. Actually, it's kind of funny because I actually fell right in between the rung of the ladder. I kind of slipped and fell in between this rung of the ladder. And what was really weird was this, is that when it smashed against the bushes and against the house, I when I fell there, I was just a little bit too wide, too broad of shoulders to fit in between the rung of the ladder. And I couldn't get out because it was like, it was wedged so high that I was only on my tiptoes, you know? So I'm like stuck like this, like, you know? And then here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking these people are going to open up their door and see these workers, you know? And here's me. Hi, you know? And so I'm thinking, oh no, you know, and my brother saw this and his eyes were huge because he thought I was going to die. You know, I was going to fall on my head or something, but it didn't happen. I'm stuck there and I'm like, Joey, help me. You know, my little brother, Joey, he comes and helps me. We kind of get out of the ladder, you know, it's kind of this awkward thing. I pull off the house, and I remember when I pulled it off the house, I noticed when it hit the house, it actually broke and chipped some of the siding that was on the house. And I went, ooh. That's not good. Then I started going, maybe they won't see it. I should tell them. Maybe I shouldn't. I mean, it would be great if I told them, and then it'd be, you know, and I could, I'd have to pay all this money and fix this. I was going back and forth in my mind and my heart, and here's what happens. The lady comes out eventually and pays us and says, thank you, and we kind of walk off. And that whole time I'm walking off, I'm thinking, I should have said something, and I didn't. And I still could have, but I didn't. And I get into our vehicle and drive away, and now this is 2 months later. I am in church, and while I'm there, God is saying, Jeremy, you are not right with me. And I remember saying, okay, Lord, whatever it takes, I'll get it right. I remember trying to call the lady up, but didn't get an answer. So finally I went over to the house, I kind of knocked on the door, and no answer. And so then I'm thinking, what do I do? So I wrote a little letter there. I sat there in this truck, and I wrote this letter and saying, basically saying, hey, remember how we went and we kind of cleaned your gutters, and this is Jeremy, and I said, I'm a Christian, and God is really working my heart about this because when I was cleaning your gutters, I basically told the story. I said, I am so sorry. I should have said something right away. Whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I want to get it right. I remember as a lady, about a day later, I get a phone call, and the lady says, hey, Jeremy, this is a lady who you cleaned the gutters at my house. And she says, Jeremy, I just want you to know I'm a Christian too. That's kind of neat. She says, I'm glad God's working your heart about this. And I went out and I saw the damage that was done. Jeremy, I want you to know that I forgive you. And my heart right away was just relieved. And then she said this. She says, and not only do I forgive you, but don't worry about it. I saw the damage. We'll take care of it. Thank you for saying something, though. Now, I was surprised. I was grateful, but it didn't matter because even if it was a couple $1,000 or whatever, it's like, man, I'd be willing to work to finish to get paid off because I just want to be right with the Lord. I wanted to get right with other people as well. And here's the point. I really believe this week God's going to work in you in such a way. He's going to deal with you specifically. What are you going to do about it? Get rid of the sin, radically amputate sin. The second thing that you see in verse 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Really, it's talking about renovating your thinking. Change the way you think. What does God say? You know what happens so often in our minds and our hearts? What we do is we think, what do we think? And what do we say? We try to think of how do we really change? You know, some of you are thinking, how do I really change? Well, Oprah. Yeah, Oprah's on. Y'all watch Oprah Winfrey. That'll change me. And if that doesn't work, you can, wait a little longer and switch channels and watch Dr. Phil. You know, that'll help you. Some of you think, man, I need to change. What I need to do is read some good, self-help kind of books and, hang around with the right kind of people. And wait a second. God says that you should be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How does that work? You know, it works like this. Many of you can probably even quote the verse, but Romans 12:2 says this, and be not conformed to this world. You know what that's like? That's like, have you ever seen Play-Doh? How many of you have ever played with Play-Doh? Okay, I don't mean like real recently, but you played with it maybe when you're little. You know what's weird? Have you ever seen one of those Play-Doh molds where you take it and you take the like it's a star and you stick it on the end of like this Play-Doh mold thing and you take this Play-Doh and you kind of stick it in this little spot and you kind of go, just shoots out the side. You know what I'm saying? Whatever's on the mold out there, if it's like a star shape, it's this huge star that kind of just sticks out, If it's like, like all these little holes, that what does it do? It's like spaghetti. It's like, coming out there. It's all these noodles. And whatever it is, here's the Bible saying this. Don't be pressed and forced into the mold of the world, but instead, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? It's amazing. You know how it happens? It happens when you get into the Word and you let the Word get into you. Did you know that this is not just a normal book? This is a book from God. The Bible actually claims that this is God's Word. And not only that, but it says it is living. It's alive. You know, you can read a lot of books, but this is the only book that's going to read you. And God's Word cuts deep into a heart, into a life. It transforms people. Maybe you've had a friend who have really come to know Jesus Christ and their life has been turned upside down, radically changed, and you look at that and say, wow, how'd that happen? Well, I'll tell you, only the Word of God does that. And when you begin to meditate and think about the scriptures, the word of God begins to change you. As you spend time with God, God opens up your eyes, your heart. And as you open up your heart and soul to him, he will change you. I wonder, are you in the word? Do you spend time with God? I think of a number of years ago, and I've been on the island. Some of you guys have been to the Hawaiian Islands. Has any of you ever been to the island called Kauai? Anyone ever been to Kauai? Kauai is a unique island. It's called the Garden Island, and actually the road, it's kind of so unique, it doesn't even connect all the way around. It's like horseshoes, you know, and there's this coastline there. There's this place called the Grand Canyon of the Pacific. You kind of go there and overlook it, and it looks like the Grand Canyon. You know, it's kind of weird that it's in the middle of this island. And then not only that, but you've got this coastline called the Nepali coastline. I remember when I had gone there, I went with a group of soccer guys, and we were holding soccer camps on the island. And one late afternoon, we said, hey, let's go down the Nepali coastline, and let's climb up and go this hike. So we started hiking. I remember going up and higher and higher and higher, and we kind of worked our way around this coastline, looking down really far. Man, it was way, way down. We eventually worked our way to the point where we went to this beach area, and it took us probably an hour or more to get to this place. And we're kind of at this sandy beach area, cliffs on the side of us. There's this cave near the side, and we kind of went through the cave. It was really cool. You know, we were at the time just soccer guys, and so we're writing names in the sand, like, you know, who we're in love with, taking pictures and all kinds of stupid things, and we're taking pictures of the sunset, and man, this is really cool. And then it dawned on us, the sun was setting. That meant it's going to get dark. We didn't have any flashlights, and we're thinking, we're gonna die. You know, we got to get back fast. We said, come on, guys. We all started running, man. We were running as fast as we could. But, you know, after a while, you know, you're dodging, you're jumping around and stuff too. And we're making our way on this cliff and this coastline. Finally, it gets to about the last 10 minutes. There's no way we could run because I'm telling you, it was so dark that night. You could put your hand up like this and you couldn't see anything. And we're thinking, this is not good. One wrong move and it may be your last move. And I remember kind of going and literally doing this on the ground to follow the path, feeling where the rocks are, feeling where it kind of falls off. Don't go that way, you know, making our way. And as we're doing this, I remember, you know, every so often we'd hear somebody go, you know, and like fall down. Our first thought was, hey, are you still there? Are you okay? You know? And you'd hear, yeah, I'm still here. And then we would laugh at him, you know? You fell, aha, that's funny. We go a little further. Every 20 feet somebody would seem to fall. We did this for like the last 10 minutes till we finally made it to the end. Obviously, I'm here before you today. I'm alive. And I remember when that happened, and Fish, I thought, you know what we need? We need a flashlight, kind of like the Bible says, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. You know, if you take a flashlight and you turn it straight down like this and you shine it on the ground in front of you, wherever you walk, you know what will happen is you won't stumble. You won't fall. Now, the problem is if that's all you've got, you're in trouble because, yeah, you won't stumble, but you're going to wander around aimlessly not knowing exactly where the path is because you don't really see it in front of you. And so really what you need is this light that's going to shine in front of you. And that's what the Bible says, that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, but it's a light unto our path. It's like having this light by your feet so you don't fall and stumble. But here's the Word that shines bright in front of us that directs us in life. Man, I love it. This is God's word to us. You know, but there's some of you, you stumble and you fall flat on your face consistently, spiritually. You know why? You're not in the word. Some of you have no direction in life. And you know why you don't have direction? Because you're not in the word. And this word wants to transform you and wants to change you, but you've got to renovate your thinking. What does the Bible say? God, how can I live according to your word and be changed? What do you want me to do, God? Renovate your thinking. And the last thing, how do you really change? Well, you've got to radically amputate sin. Number two, you've got to renovate your thinking. But number three, the last thing, verse 24 says that you put on now the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You could say it this way, that you would replace the old habits. Because what happens is there's some of you this summer that God's worked in your heart and your life, and you've really grown spiritually, but now you've fallen on your face and you've kind of went, man, I can't do it anymore. I can't change. Well, get up, get in the Word, replace the old sin habits. Because see, what happens is sometimes God speaks to you and you make a commitment to the Lord. That's the beginning of change. And then you get into the Word to say, okay, God, what do you desire of me? That's the continual way of changing, but you must replace the old habits in your life. And you replace it the way God wants you to replace it. And sometimes we don't see change, and then we blame God, like He's the fault, but we're the ones who aren't really following Him and following His Word. And here's what the Bible says, that you put on now the new man, which after God has created in righteousness. This is you and meeting your obligations before man and true holiness in you in this relationship with God. Could you imagine today it starts pouring down rain during the competitions? It's the end of the day. You trip and fall in a puddle of this really nice mud that's here on the island. This red mud comes out of everything really easily, doesn't it? And yet you fall in it and you're all like nasty. Oh, gross. You know, your mom picks you up and's like, ooh, jump in the back or something, you know? So you end up driving home. Your mom kind of drops you off, you know, and not really sure what to do with you. You know, she just hose you down outside or something, or I don't know. And so what do? You go inside and you have this nasty, dirty, muddy clothes, and you take that nasty clothes off, and then you put on clean clothes, don't you? I hope you don't. Some of you are going, I thought I do. Because what would you do? You take off the nasty clothes, then you'd take like a shower, you know, and get cleaned. And then you put on the clean clothes. And this is actually the picture of salvation and of real change. You say, what are you talking about, Jeremy? Look at the next verse real quick. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? Because we're members one of another. The Bible says you got a problem with lying. Don't lie, but actually speak the truth. You should replace it by speaking the truth because you're members one of another. If you are part of the body of Christ and you're really a Christian, then you are a member. You wouldn't hurt the other members. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And have you ever thought about this? How many of you have ever gotten angry at something before? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. You know, it's amazing. If you go to bed angry, you normally wake up what? Angry. Yeah, somebody said happy. You wake up angry, and then you go throughout the day, and what are you? Angry. You're still not happy. And then you go to bed that next night, and no longer is it just the sin of anger that you've been holding on to, but now it's actually gone deeper. It's called bitterness. It's harbored hurt. You know what happens is when you hold on to anger, actually you become bitter. It's giving the devil a foothold in your life. He says, don't give place to the devil. Don't go to bed angry, because once you do that and hold on to anger, you actually, it's like opening up the door to the devil and saying, come here, Satan, destroy me, please. Because you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. And there's some of you that are sitting here today, you know what the greatest sin that you're facing right now? It's the sin of bitterness and anger. And you're hurting real bad, but you're not giving it to the Lord. And because of that, what's happened is you've become bitter. You've given place to the devil. The devil has gotten a foothold in your life. And he gets a stronghold, and eventually he takes you down. You become useless as a believer. You become useless as even a human. Then it says, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give. And you know what? Unfortunately, I'd have to say this, in HCA, in this school, there are thieves, people who steal things. They see something that they want, they're full of greed, they're full of covetousness, and they take something that's not theirs. Some of you steal maybe from your parents or a brother or sister you take things from. You steal maybe in stores, you take stuff. You call it five-finger discount, you know, because you don't want to call it what it is. And The Bible says don't steal, but you should work in order to give. There are people in need, and yet you're stealing, and you could work and give. Then it says, verse 29, let no corrupt, filthy communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. There are some of you today that honestly, when you walk into the room, people think of you and they think some things evil of you. You know why? Because your mouth constantly rips people apart. There's some guys here, you're guilty of this. It's not just maybe saying foul words, but actually you're guilty of speaking foul jokes on a consistent basis, and this is you, this is the way you think, and this is the way you speak, and you tell dirty jokes, and others of you sit there and listen, and you know you don't really say anything. You really consent to it. God wants to change you. Don't let this corrupt communication. There are people who gossip and rip down other people. Did you see what she was wearing? Did you see how she acted? And they begin to gossip. And yet God says, get rid of these things, edify, build people up, strengthen people, minister grace. Our speech should be always seasoned with grace. And then it says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now look at the replacement real quick. Verse 32, you know this verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because it says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you are a true Christian here today, a real believer, you have been forgiven. So why in the world would you hold on to something and not forgive somebody else when you've been forgiven everything? God's going to speak to you. He's going to work in you. And what are you going to do? There are some of you, even right now, even this morning, God is dealing with your heart. What will you do? What will you do?
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, How to Change God's Way, from evangelist Jeremy Frazier. It was originally presented in September of 2008 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special services at Harvest Baptist Church. You can send us a message by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.